Well, my name is Manuel Ambrosio. So some American friends, they have hard time to pronounce my last name. Some American friends, they pronounce my last name Ambroski. They thought I'm a Filipino Polak. The video that you have seen a while ago was taken in 2015. So it was a long time ago. So I was still in my first church then in Marilao when I started the first church in 1990. But last year, I moved to another place to start a mission work. So I gave my church to my second son. All of my sons, they are all now pastors. Amen? So please do pray that I said a while ago, I'm raising $60,000 to buy a piece of land. Just a small piece of land, just to have a small building so that we can start worship service in that place. So I'm really praying hard that God will meet my goal. I'm praying for churches and individuals that have the ability to help. I really want to go back to the Philippines because I have another wife now. Amen? That's the blessing of being a servant of God. God will give you a double blessing. And I have a two months old baby now, a baby girl. So I haven't seen yet my baby. I'm really anxious to go back home to hug that baby. I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Mark chapter 16. I will give a message about mission. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Shall we all stand there, please, if you are able to stand up and reading this passage of the scripture in reverence to the word of God. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let us pray. Our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace this morning. Thank you for this great and wonderful opportunity you have given us to gather together in this place to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, please use me to be a blessing. I stand beyond this pulpit, Lord, without any knowledge. Being human, being a national, I don't have the capacity to bless your people. For what I believe in this country, that there are many great preachers, dynamic preachers, that they can touch the heart of their people. But Lord, use me also to be a blessing. We know that you are God of no respect of person. Once again, as I speak this message, as I give this message, give me words to say. And let the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified and magnified in our midst. For this is my prayer in Christ's most precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to tell you that I'm not good in English. Amen. I just learned a little bit English during my college year. But so it's really hard for us. Sometimes you may not understand me, especially because of my accent. But if I will say a word that you may not understand, just smile and nod your head. That will be fine. Amen? But I will try my best to communicate with you. I want to speak to you about mission. You know, it's for us, a nationals, it's really hard to get meetings. Because they don't know us. Majority of the American preachers, when they heard that you are a Filipino, a national, sometimes they will turn you down. Some Americans that I called, some pastors that I called, they said, oh, brother, because of the pandemic, you know, we suffered a lot. We lost people and even our finances. So I'm sorry, we cannot afford to accept more missionaries. That's fine. But some pastors said, I'm sorry, brother, I cannot have you to come to my church because our people are burned out already in giving to missions. Our people are about to quit in giving to missions. So I'm very sorry. Probably you are burned out already in giving to missions. You are about to quit in giving to missions. But beloved in the Lord, before you quit in giving to missions, let me say three things. Why do we need to get involved in mission? You know, David Livingstone said this word, God had only one son, and he made that son a missionary. And upon the completion of his mission, he returned to his Father in heaven. But before he left, he said to his apostles, "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Friends, God is a missionary God. Amen. The Bible is a missionary book. Right. The gospel is a missionary message. And the church is a missionary institution.
Right.
And when the church ceases to be a missionary minded, it has denied its faith and betrayed its trust.
Right.
Why should we need to get involved in mission? Number one, because of the command from above. This is the command from heaven where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Jesus Christ, our Lord and risen Savior, the great head of the church, He is still commanding us Christians to preach the gospel. Amen?
Amen?
His last command before He was ascended to His own glory in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. "Yea, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Church, I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ did not say first at Jerusalem, but He said both in Jerusalem.
That's right.
That means we have equal responsibility and the same responsibility. Amen? Yes, we have responsibility to our Jerusalem, to your loved ones, to your family circle, to your church, to your community as your Jerusalem. But we have equal responsibility to our Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Right.
Amen? You know, when I was in the Bible college, we are studying the book of Acts. And I got amazed why God allowed that great persecution at the first church in Jerusalem. Where if you are going to study the first church in Jerusalem, they were doing great. Thousands and thousands of souls are getting saved every day. They were multiplied in numbers. They were so active in winning souls. But why God allowed that great persecution? You know, I came to know that's why God allowed that great persecution, because they kept intact at Jerusalem. They have forgotten their Judea and Samaria.
That's right.
Amen? That's why in Acts chapter 8, we can see here the reason why God allowed that great persecution. Beginning verse 1, it says here, "And Saul was consenting unto his death," the death of Stephen. "And at the time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Who were scattered abroad? The apostles? No, the apostles remained at Jerusalem. Who were scattered abroad? Those ordinary Christians, ordinary believers like you and me, were scattered abroad. In verse 4 it says here, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word."
Amen.
Amen? That's why the reason why God allowed that great persecution, although they are winning souls, because they kept intact at Jerusalem. So God allowed that great persecution so that they may scatter abroad and preach the gospel. Amen?
Amen?
The same to our church. If we are going to neglect our Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth, then God will allow the great persecution to our church. The same command when the Lord Jesus Christ stated in this plain word, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Has this command ever been withdrawn? Has this order at any time been rescinded? Is the task completed? Or it is still unfinished business? Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ issued this command, and if this command has never been rescinded, and if the task has never been carried through to completion, then, beloved in the Lord, I believe the command is still stand.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
When the Lord Jesus Christ issued this command, and if this command has never been rescinded, and if the task has never been carried through to completion, then, beloved in the Lord, I believe we need to get to be involved in mission, because the business is not yet finished, is not yet done. Amen? The same way the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 14 verse 23. And He said, "Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled." Being a Christian, we have responsibility. Amen? Don't just put the responsibility to your pastor to win souls. Some Christians, they say, "Oh, we have pastor, that's why we do support our pastor to do that jump." Friends, being a Christian, we do have responsibility. Amen. Being a witness to somebody. Amen? Some Christians, you know, did you ask God, why did God save you? Supposed to do, there are more good people. But what? Why God save you? To be a shining light in your place, in your house. Like in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. When people surround us, that they may see our good works, our godly works, the praise will not be in us. The glory will not be in us, but they will glorify God in heaven. So, being a Christian, you know, do our responsibility to witness to somebody. If only Christians will do their responsibility in every church, we cannot accommodate all the people who will come to church.
That's right.
Amen? Yeah. When Napoleon Bonaparte was forming his army, a young boy coming in shouting, riding in a white horse. While coming close to the Napoleon Bonaparte, he was shouting, waving his hand, "Oh, Napoleon, Napoleon!" When he came close to Napoleon and this young boy said to Napoleon, "Oh, Napoleon, you are so great. I admire you so much. You are a great warrior. But you know, sir, my name is also Napoleon." Then Napoleon tapped the shoulder of this young boy and said, "Young boy, if your name is also Napoleon, then live like Napoleon or else change your name." Christians, that is so. Amen?
Amen.
If we are really Christian, then live like a Christian or else don't claim that you are a Christian. The way you live, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you do business, do like a Christian. Amen? Be a living testimony. Do our responsibility. Don't just sit on the pew to come to church. You know, the first time I came here in 1919, when I came in your country in 1990, we went there in a new mall in Parkersburg, West Virginia. A big mall, very beautiful. You know, one day, we don't have money, just go there to window shopping. I was walking on the aisle and I saw on that display, a good display. Attracted me so much. I stood there for a couple of minutes and trying to see that good display. And that young sales lady came to me and said, "Sir, can I help you? Come inside." And I said, "Yeah, I like that display. It did attract me so much. How much is that display?" You know, she said, she smiled at me and said, "No, sir, that's not for sale. That's only for a display. But I will give you the same item. Just come inside. I will give you the same item." Why? They put that item on that display to attract people. Amen? God puts you in your place to attract somebody.
Amen?
Even your family. If maybe you are the only person in your family that is a Christian, God put you in that place, in that family, to be a display, to be a pedestal. Amen? So do our responsibility. You know, but sorry to say, in some churches, it's sorry to say that Christians, they even cannot say amen in the church. Amen? That's why those charismatic Pentecostals took our amen. Because the real Christian Baptists, they cannot say amen anymore in the church. When the pastor will say something, they will just say, Even our amen, we Christians, we lost our amen. There is nothing wrong in saying amen. Amen?
Amen.
To glorify God.
That's right.
To agree what the pastor say. Amen? So Lord, don't lose your amen. Or else, probably charismatic will build a church in your place. You may see them always amen, amen, shouting amen. Why do we need to get involved in mission? Because of the command from above. Number two, why do we need to get involved in mission? Because of the cry from beneath. In Luke chapter 16, we know that we are so familiar with these passages of the scripture to make this story short. In Luke chapter 16, beginning 19 to 31, we can see here that there are two Bible characters in these passages. One was named Lazarus, the beggar. And the other, there's no name. The Bible says the rich man. When the beggar died, the Bible says he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But when the rich man died, of course, when you are rich, you are so well known, you have a lot of friends, a lot of commendation during that funeral. But the Bible says, when he lifted up his eyes, he was in torment. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that I may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. That rich man died, and there is soul bound to hell. But when the beggar died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Why? Because that beggar accepted Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. But that beggar, he do always alms to the people because he was so rich. Probably what he is believed that he can get to heaven by doing his good works, by giving alms to his people. He was wrong. The Bible says he was there in hell. Friends, I want to tell you that hell is not a joke. Hell is real. Amen. Hell is a specific place. And hell is a place of torments. And those people who are now in hell are crying for mercy. They are crying for pain. But even though every day, every hour, every minute, and every second of the day, they will cry and cry for the mercy of God, they may not receive the mercy of God anymore. Because it's too late. It's too late. If you hurry today, you are not yet a Christian. Don't wait, it will be too late. Before you will realize that you need a Savior in your life, you need Jesus Christ. Just accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. Hell is not a joke. Maybe you have loved ones, one member in your family, your son or your daughter, or even your wife or your husband is not yet saved. When did the last time you use your knees and your tears and beg God to save your loved ones? Friends, hell is real. Don't wait that it will be late when you realize that your loved ones will be bound to hell if they will not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have an attitude when one of our loved ones pass away already, then that's the time that we realize that we love them and we cared for them. That's why we can see people going or coming to the cemetery or graveyard, bringing flowers and candles, crying, weeping, mourning. I'm not telling you that that's wrong, no. What I'm telling you, it's too late. It's too late. Better do something to your loved ones when there's still more time before it's too late. Amen? Are you really care? Do you really care? Care for your loved ones. And what the Bible says, he was begging God to send Lazarus. But when the Bible says it may not be. But what he asked, Father Abraham, can you send him to my father's house? Because I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You see, those people are now in hell, are begging God and crying to God for their loved ones to be saved. They have compassion for their loved ones. Amen? That's why I got saved. I do believe because I have loved ones who are now in hell. Even my grandfather, he was not Christian when he died. They believe in this satanic worship. I believe that was that's why I got saved, because they are begging God and crying to God for their loved ones to be saved. They don't want us to be bound to hell. But we Christians, we are still alive. Do we have that compassion and desire in our heart for our loved ones? It's about time to realize that hell is not a joke. Amen. And lastly, we need to get to be involved in mission because of the command from above, because of the cry from beneath, and lastly, because of the call from beyond. In Acts chapter 16, if you may, Acts chapter 16, beginning 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Come over into Macedonia and help us. We know when Apostle Paul responded to that call, many souls got saved in Macedonia. Amen? The first woman, the first soul who got saved in Macedonia, that businesswoman named Lydia, a seller of purple, she got saved. And she got baptized and his whole family. Paul responded to that call. And the guard jailer, he got saved and his whole family got baptized because Apostle Paul responded to that call. And many souls got saved in Macedonia when Apostle Paul responded to that call. Church, thank you so much, because when I came here in 2017, you responded to this call. You have a great part for that ministry. Amen. I assure you, we believe in accountability. As Romans 14:12 says, every one of us will give an account of himself to God. We will give an account, whether it be good or it be bad. We'll give an account. But what I can assure you, because of your help, because you respond to this call, when the trumpet of the Lord will sound, when we get to heaven, there will be many brown-skinned Filipinos who will come to you and say, thank you so much for caring our souls. Thank you so much in helping our missionaries. We are one of your product. Amen. That's why, beloved in the Lord, don't wait in giving to mission. You know, when Napoleon Bonaparte was in the battle, he was about to cross the Harz mountain. He stood in his white horse and he saw that the enemy was so great. And he looked to his own bugler and he said, sound retreat, sound retreat. And the bugler took his trumpet and he began to sound. And Napoleon said, son, I said, sound retreat. The enemy was so great, we cannot beat the enemy. Sound retreat. And the bugler took his trumpet and he began to sound. And Napoleon said, no, that's not the sound. You have sound of forward. Sound retreat. Sound retreat. And the bugler put down his trumpet and he said to Napoleon, sir, I can't. I can't. Because you never taught me the sound of retreat. It has always been forward. And they won the battle. Amen. So friends, Christians, that is so. In serving God, no retreat, no surrender. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. God bless you. Thank you so much, Pastor.